Well, as you can tell by the leading of the Holy Spirit songs and by the bulletin, today's message is about the armor of God. And you know, I'm sure that for many of us who've been in church most our whole lives, you know, we've heard messages on the armor of God before. Many of them, you know, we know that Randy brought a series of messages on each piece of the armor of God, and it's good because it is important. But as I was, praying one day and things were going on and everything, the Lord opened something up. I don't know that I've ever necessarily heard it before in any, you know, time that I've been listening to messages in the 40 some odd years that I've been going to church. Amen. You know. And then, even as we sang, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer today, it hit me good. We'll discuss that. We'll address that today. Hallelujah. Let me start out and ask a question. And for those of you who are not used to our church, amen, you know, we encourage back and forth if you would like. This is not a one-man show, again, unless he is the one man. Hallelujah. And so questions, comments, they're always welcome. Amen. That's how this church is. Praise, worship, and word. Amen. Not a lot of fluff in between. So let me ask you, does reading a how-to manual accomplish the act? Does reading a how-to manual, like, you know, accomplish a purpose? I mean, if you read a how-to manual on carburetor repair, right? That's the easiest one. When you finish reading the manual, do you end up with a repaired carburetor? You do not, right? Of course not. You need to put what you've read into action.
Amen.
Right? So such is the case with Ephesians 6. Such is the case with the armor of God. The Lord speaks to me in the shower a lot. And I was taking a shower one day, and when I was done, the Lord said, go read a book on getting dressed. Right? And since we have our little kids, since we have youngins, the best thing that I had was a book on putting on jammies, you know, after a nighttime bath. And so I went and I read that, and the Lord said, now look down. Are you dressed? And, you know, I don't know. Naked is the day I was born. Amen. And such is the case, he showed me, with Ephesians 6 and the armor of God. You see, you are no more dressed in your armor if you simply read Ephesians 6 as you would be if you simply read a book about getting dressed. You would no more be dressed. Amen? Now, Randy's done a series of messages about each piece of armor, but today we're going to look at the armor as it relates to the actions, and not just the reading of each piece. See, this is not to come down on anybody, but I've asked pastors, how do you put on the armor of God? How do you put on your armor? And they go, I read Ephesians 6 every morning. I read Ephesians 6 every morning. And you go, well, that's great. Or we sing the song, right? Put on the gospel armor. Each piece put on with prayer. But as we go through these pieces, I think we're going to see that each piece is an action, right? We have to put the armor on with prayer, with reading, with knowing our word, but with the actions that accompany each piece as well. We're going to see where the chinks in our armor are today, because the armor of God is a very important tool to a mature Christian. The context of Ephesians 6 comes from Ephesians 5 and 6. Paul is teaching the early Christian church in Ephesus how to act. How to act. Walk in love. Have no fellowship with darkness. Wives, submit to your husbands. And husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Children, obey your parents. Servants, Do everything as if you are doing it for the Lord God. Masters and employers, treat your servants with respect. Ephesians 5 and 6 is all about how to act. He's teaching the new church how to act. So Paul is saying, act in this manner with your fellow humanity. Act this way with fellow humanity. Why? Because we do not quarrel against them. Because we don't quarrel against humanity. We quarrel against, not against each other, right? But against spiritual forces. Against the darkness behind it all. Ephesians 6. Finally, my brothers, my brethren, brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against, not each other, amen, but the wiles of the devil. Okay? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, then, you take unto you the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We've read this many times in our lives. If you're a Christian, you've read this many times in your lives, right? How often do we read this, though, and the truth of this just comes in and kind of goes out, amen? There is an amazing truth in this, and that is that we do not wrestle against each other. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle one to another. It is not between me and you. Amen? It is between me and the spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness. Which is why in our family we are always ready to teach that the temporal world and what you can see and what you can feel and what your senses tell you is not the reality. The reality is what's going on in the spirit world. Amen? What does it mean, beloved, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places? It means, beloved, that to the kooks in this room, right? To the crazy people in this room, the Bible is the origin and the authority of all the conspiracy theories, all right? The conspiracy theories that the world and, beloved, even many in churches all around the nation levy at Bible Christians, right? What do I mean, Bible Christians? Bible Christians, simply, you either believe the Bible or you believe the world, period. That's a Bible Christian. A Bible Christian either believes this or believes the world. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Having your loins girt about with truth. So how many times have we read that? And then how do you go out and act? Okay? There's two parts of this. Gird your loins and with truth. And when I think of gird your loins, the phrase, pull up your big boy pants, always comes to mind. Pull up your big boy pants, right? And there's two particular verses in the Bible that always stand out to me when gird your loins comes up. Jeremiah 1:17 and Job 3:8. Listen, Jeremiah 1:17. Jeremiah is a lad. He's a young man. And the Lord has called him to be a prophet. Okay? And the Lord says this to him, therefore, gird up your loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command you. That's, pull up your big boy pants, Jeremiah. Don't look at your youth. Don't look at your age. Don't look at anything, right? Because God told Jeremiah this, that he would speak before kings and priests, and he would speak before crowds and angry mobs. And that he would speak before captains and armies and generals. Amen? That he would speak God's word against them all. Oof. Ouch, man. I mean, that's pulling up your big boy pants, right? You're going to stand in front of presidents and kings and armies and angry crowds and speak God's word against them all. Why? Because in the day of Jeremiah, the false prophets were speaking peace and safety. And everything's going to be okay, and we're all going to have a great time, and everything's just going to be great, and, you know. And Jeremiah's like, uh-uh, no, exile and destruction, right? That he would speak God's words against them all, but that they would not prevail against him. And yeah, that's a gird your loins moment when God tells you, you know, go speak to an angry mob something that they do not want to hear. The other one that always makes my jaw drop, beloved, is Job 38, I'm sorry. Then Jehovah, that is our Father God, Jehovah answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who hides counsel from me and confines words without knowledge in his heart, thinking that he might conceal them from me? When I read that translation, it opened up something brand new to me. You know, we read it in the King James, we read it in most translations. Who darkens counsel upon me without knowledge? And I'm like, what does that mean, right? The Berean literal translation opened it up. Who confines words without knowledge in his heart? In his heart. Who speaks to me in his heart and thinks to conceal them from me? Gird up now your loins like a man, for I will ask and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And so on and so forth. Amen. Oof. Oof, I love that. Man, our Lord. Who asks questions in their heart and thinks that I don't hear it? Amen. Amen. Watch what goes into my heart, Lord. Watch what goes into my heart. When the Lord says, gird up your loins, it means something's about to real go down. Right? And so, such is the case in Ephesians 6. Gird up your loins. Something's about to go down. Why? Gird up your loins because the truth is not easy. Gird up your loins with truth. All right? So, gird up your loins. Why? Because truth is not easy. If you are going to stand on truth, if you're going to stand on Bible truth, beloved, in this world, you are going to have to pull up your big boy pants. You are going to have to gird your loins because standing on the truth is no easy task. For the word of God is truth or it is not. There is no in-between of it. And we are going to have to deal with what we believe, and we all say that we believe it, amen? But we're going to have to deal with what we believe in here is right and truth with the very first piece of armor that we put on, right? So we might as well start right now. To start right now deciding what truth we're going to believe. What truth we're going to believe. All in on Bible truth, beloved, or as we often do, I do, we do, we tend to dismiss some of the truth and topics that are a little too hard, too something to wrap our head around, too personal to easily wrap our heads around in the Word of God. Truth and faith are going to be parts of this armor of God that we're going to say. God says one thing and the world says another, right? And which will we stand on? And beloved, one might say that we will stand on the truth of God, and one might believe that we might say that we believe God. And if so, it is well. Well. But to what extent and to what limit will we believe God's word over flesh and blood, or stand on the truth of God's word over flesh and blood, or over our own opinion, right? The personal, beloved, the personal answer to that question in each and every one of our lives, and that's why I love the Lord, because your answer is going to be different from my answer, and my answer is going to be different from your answer. Praise the Lord. That's why we have that personal relationship with our Lord. Amen, Chris. We develop that personal relationship with the Lord because we get a personal answer from the Lord about each and everything that we are going to deal with. The personal answer to that question in each and every one of our lives is the determinant to the effectiveness of our armor. What do you believe? What do you believe out here? Is something okay because everyone else is doing it? I mean, you know, getting drunk, getting high, getting whatever, homosexuality, whatever it is, we all know it. We know the world. Is it okay because everybody else is doing it, because the world is accepting it, because the world is saying it's okay? Well, then there's a chink in your armor. Is something okay because that's the way that they were born? Well, the Bible says when you become a Christian, you become a new creation. If something's okay because that's the way that they were born, there's a chink in your armor. Is the concept of fallen angels, spiritual beings running the world through human hosts with a hatred and a disdain for you, a hatred and a repugnance for humanity, a thirst to be worshipped by lowly mankind, is that a crazy conspiracy theory? Well, I've got news for you. Amen? If you believe that, then there's a chink in your armor. Because we just read it in the Bible, did we not? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Right? Is the concept that music and movies and television and video games and horoscopes and dream catchers and Buddha statues and skull t-shirts and Easter bunnies and Halloween candy and Halloween costumes are all open doorways for spiritual wickedness to have legal authority to enter your life and your home and your family's lives and work spiritual darkness in your home and your family? Is that a concept that is too out there for you to accept? If so, there's a chink in your armor. Amen? Gird up your loins with truth. Can you fathom, beloved, that everything that the world, and I mean everything, that the world presents to you as good, is part of the Babylonian system of religion, and is not coincidentally, but consciously, and meticulously, and maliciously designed to spiritually weaken your house, designed by spiritual wickedness and spiritual authorities to weaken your house and your faith and bring you down. Everything that the world presents as good is designed with a purpose to bring you down. If that's a crazy conspiracy theory in your life, there's a chink in your armor. And we might say, yes, I believe it. But to what extent do I believe it? Right? There's a chink in your armor. For Jesus said to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Living the truth of God's word, and not just believing it, but believing God's word as a lifestyle, is how you gird your loins with truth. First you read it, second you pray it, but mostly you live it. Amen? Right. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Can you read this verse? Having on the breastplate of righteousness, and then go out and live in an unrighteous manner, and still expect to have on the breastplate of righteousness, simply because you read the verse. Right? Can you pray this prayer? Lord, I put on the breastplate of righteousness, and then go out without mercy for the less fortunate, without affection for the fatherless and the widows, lying to others, frequenting craft breweries and drunken parties, loving money and power and lusting after those who have it, and idolizing self and hating others, and still expect to be protected by the breastplate of righteousness? Obviously no, right? But do we understand that? Do we understand that? One cannot pray on the breastplate of righteousness and then go out living in an unrighteous manner. there's a chink in your armor. In your study time, please, beloved, refer to Mark 7, 1 Corinthians 6, and Galatians 5 for a rundown of unrighteous living. And if you are doing any of these things, stop it. Amen? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And if you are doing any of those things, it will not go well for you when you die. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is the gospel of peace? What is the gospel of peace? Amen. The gospel and the good news is the Bible, right? But to narrow it down, the gospel of peace is this. Peace with God. Peace. Peace with God. That God is holy and he is just and I am not. Right? And at the end of my life, I'm going to stand before a just and holy God and I will be judged. And I will be judged either on the basis of my own righteousness or lack of it, right? Or the righteousness of another. Or the righteousness of another. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ lived a life of perfect righteousness, of perfect obedience to God, not for his own well-being, but for others, for us. And he has done for me what I couldn't possibly do for myself. But not only has he lived the perfect life of obedience, but he also died. He offered himself as the perfect sacrifice. Why? To satisfy the justice and the righteousness of a holy and just and righteous God. And through him, Jesus Christ, I, sinful man, have peace with God, holy and just. Amen. That is the gospel of peace. So why then is it important that I have my feet shod with this gospel? What is it about having your feet with shoes on them, with sandals on them? In order to understand this, we have to understand biblical symbolism. Amen? We have to understand the biblical symbolism of dust and sandals. Okay? Dust represents sin. Plain and simple. And sandals represent a barrier from sin. Which is why man was formed from the dust. And which is why you would shake the dust off of your feet from a town that would not accept the word, the gospel of peace. Which is why Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And why you must remove your sandals when standing on holy ground. Why? Because there's no sin on holy ground. Simply put, the gospel of peace is the only thing that protects me from my own sin. Your feet shod with the gospel of peace. In order to protect me from sin, I have to have my feet shod. I must have Jesus Christ in my life, or I am unshod. I am unprotected from sin in this world. How beautiful, beloved, are the mountains are the feet of the messengers who bring this good news. The good news of peace and salvation. The news that the God of Israel reigns. Right? Now, quite honestly, beloved, how many people are trying to get by life? Even some churches are trying to get by anymore. Downplaying Jesus Christ. Downplaying Jesus Christ. In their messages and in their lives, in their teachings, crosses are being left out. Saints are being exalted. The words of Christ are being changed and omitted and added to. I mean, we're lucky, beloved, in this church, right? We love Jesus in this church. But as we continue to grow, as we continue to keep coming in, you know, let's continue to love Jesus Christ. Let's continue to bring Jesus Christ forward. Let's continue to make sure that Jesus Christ is first in our life. Why? Because he is the gospel of peace. He is the gospel of peace. His righteousness and not mine. Without Jesus Christ and his truth, there's a major chink in the armor. We see a major chink in the armor around this world, do we not? In churches, on all over. Now we get to Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And of course, I had to stop. I had to, you know, when you read this, and so many times we keep reading, but you know, this time I stopped. I'm like, why above all? Right? We read it and you keep going on. But when something in the Bible says, above all, take the shield of faith, you should stop and you should go, hey, wait a minute. Why? Well, first off, it's important to note that faith is not the defining characteristic of you, beloved, my Christians. Right? That is love. 1 Corinthians 13, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So proud of you. You love like nobody I've ever known. But faith, beloved, is the defining piece of armor. And what is armor but protection? So love is the defining characteristic of a Christian, but faith is the defining piece of your armor. Faith is above all as a piece of protection, because faith is the abiding trust in God and His promises. Amen. This is your protection, the abiding trust in God and His promises. For me, faith is summed up by Daniel 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we all know the story, answered and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. For if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from your burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us, O king. But if he does not, be it known to you that we will not serve your gods and we will not worship the golden image which you have set up. This is why faith is above all, as the word says. For it is the knowledge and understanding that if an outcome happens that I'm not particularly thrilled with, all right, such as being thrown into a fiery furnace, that doesn't sound like great, but, you know, if this happens, it is not because my God is not able or not willing to help. It's because he, in his sovereign will, has an even better plan for my life. An even better plan for my life. For we know that to them that love God, that's a qualifier, right? All things work together for good. Dan and I talk about this often. There's so many qualifiers, right? Like, the world loves to just preach things about God without the qualifiers, amen? And we got to have the qualifiers in here. To them that love God, all things work together for good. Here's a nugget of prophecy that the Lord gave me for you, beloved church. Great day to be in church. Hallelujah. God uses the devil. Amen? God uses the devil and his fiery darts and his fiery trials to burn away the dross from you. Gold and silver, amen? You're all fine gold. You're all fine silver in the Lord's eyes. And God uses fiery darts and fiery trials that the devil means for bad, but God means for good, to burn the dross off of you and make you pure. Some of you pure gold. Some of you pure silver, amen? Fire burns away the dross and makes the silver and the gold pure. And faith is above all as a shield of protection from the fiery darts of the wicked, because if you have faith, you are already pure. If you have faith, you are already pure. That is how these fiery darts are quenched, right? The fiery darts and trials, which the devil means for harm, but God means for your good, which are meant to purify you, are quenched by your faith when you are already pure. If you lack faith, there's a chink in your armor. But there's a secret behind this then too. If you lack faith, then some of those fiery darts are going to get through, right? And they will burn you. And the fiery trials will suck to go through, right? They will burn you with fiery trials, which, by the will of God, though, will burn that dross off. Amen? Amen. Burn that dross off and leave you more pure with more faith. Amen? On the other side of those trials. This is how all things work together for the good of who?
God.
Those who love God. Yeah. Remember the qualifier. Amen. And we take the helmet of salvation. The Bible speaks of two types of helmets, symbolically. The helmet of brass or bronze in some translations, which is heavy and judgmental. And the burdensome helmet of the world. It's the burdensome helmet of the world from 1 Samuel. And then the Bible speaks of the helmet of salvation, which is the helmet of our Redeemer. Amen? And I love it. You know, Paul is often given credit for the armor of God. But this helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness first introduced in Isaiah 59, talking about who? Prophetic, our Redeemer. And he, Jehovah, saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation with him, and his righteousness sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, thank you, Jesus, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, thank you, Jesus. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak, thank you, Jesus. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion and unto them who turn from transgression in Judah, saith the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Like the shoes of the gospel of peace. The helmet of salvation does not come except by Jesus Christ, the intercessor, the salvation, the righteousness, the Redeemer. Put on the helmet of salvation. Contrast this with the protection that you get from the world. And there's many out there going out to the world for protection right now. Right now, is there not? Saul clothed David in his armor. He put a helmet of bronze upon his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David put a sword on over this armor, and he tried to go, how? In vain. He tried to go in vain with the armor of the world on, for he was not used to them. And David said to Saul, I can't use these. I can't go out with these. So David put them off. The protection of the world is heavy and burdensome. And the helmet of salvation is our Lord. The helmet of salvation is our Redeemer. The strength of Egypt will fail. The arm of man cannot save. If you're relying on any of the world's protections, anything but the helmet of salvation, there's a chink in your armor. And finally, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is the Word of God. Amen. This is an easy one, hallelujah, right? Because the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is the only attack that you will ever need. The only attack that you will ever need. The Word of God stops every argument. It makes every mouth dumb. Jesus fought every temptation of the devil with the Word of God. The Word of God mobilizes angel armies on your behalf. The Word of God is the rebuke from the mouth of God. Psalm 76:6, at thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse are cast into a dead sleep. Who do the chariot and the horse represent? The strength of Egypt. And he rebuked the Red Sea, and it was dried up. The rebuke of the Lord dries the seas. It makes the rivers a wasteland. The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. And even Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, dared not bring against him an accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. You should practice that in your lives, beloved. Not me, not the, but the Lord rebuke thee. Amen. The sword of the Spirit is the only attack that you will ever need. So, beloved, prayer is great. Knowing Ephesians 6 is even greater, right? You can't put on your armor if you don't know what the armor is. And, of course, you know, we can't do these actions in our lives, righteousness, right, and truth. We can't do that without constant prayer. So knowing Ephesians 6, knowing the prayer, amen, that is all absolutely necessary for the armor of God. However, putting that into practice in your life, amen, is what keeps your armor on. It's what keeps your armor from having chinks in it. So, beloved, do not go out into the world naked, having read, but not having put on the armor of God. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Amen. And the Lord lift his smiling countenance upon you. Hallelujah. Amen.